by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
For the lead!
Are you kidding me?
It is the Massive Report live and in your face from Hendox. What's going
Except
on?
Except not at all.
Not at all in your face. No, a little laid back compared to last week, quite honestly. Ryan Gears here. What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
Brought back 3 points from Montreal.
You brought back 3 points from Montreal. We're going to talk to him on segment two when we do cover Le Bleu. Le Bleu.
Le Bleu.
Le Bleu. I do want to point out one thing, and I think Justin touched on this as well. Montreal is really the only team in MLS that I can't hate.
Really?
Yeah.
I love
like in certain circumstances. Like, I always used to think San Jose was kind of, you know, benign.
Yeah, okay.
But they're kind of dicks, and they beat people up, like,
well,
in
no, that's
cars.
Their supporters.
Yeah, no, I know. Montreal,
they just kind of mind their business.
I kind of like them.
Speak French.
I don't know. They're nice people.
I admire the heck out of them.
And they have a lot of...
Well, that's just because they have Marco de Vaio.
No, I admire... Even before he was there, I was like, there's something about this team that's...
Yeah.
Really impressive. I mean,
they're going their own way.
Yeah.
They're doing it their way.
Yeah.
They can go their
Don Garber,
own way.
Don Garber be damned.
I think I referred to them as my MLS mistress.
Yes. Yes. No, I can see that. But yeah, no, we went out to Joey Knuckles Stadium and we picked up 3 points and we brought them back with us. More Joey Knuckles jokes and more recap of the Montreal game in the second segment. But the first segment, as I'm joined by Chris, Justin, Larry, and, of course, Sam turning the gears.
The ones and twos?
Right here. $2 pints here at Hendox, or schooners if you're me and you're drinking a Newcastle Brown Ale.
You've switched from normal to classy.
I'm super classy. I don't know what you're talking about. And however much Larry's alcoholic beverage cost. What are you drinking, Larry?
Maker's Mark.
Maker's
always.
Mark, dude.
Always.
Dude.
Maker's Mark.
Yeah, yeah. No, well done. Well done. Cheers.
It's always your corner.
Cheers.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously,
I'm sorry.
Chris. You gotta
I got to stop messing with stuff.
Yeah, you got to quit touching stuff.
Me and my plastic cup. Sam, what's up?
It's because you're drinking Coke.
Hey. I already had my one bomb for the night.
Yeah.
I'm just refreshing. Yeah. But I'm really glad we're not live tonight because Rachel will be texting me right now like, you had a bomb?
Yeah. So sorry we're not live tonight. Maybe you should come out. That's all I'm saying. That's really all I'm saying about that. So USA-Mexico, that happened last week.
You know, Justin and I were talking about this earlier. I, honest to God, don't remember doing a podcast last Monday night.
I don't know.
I remember being here.
Yep.
I remember having an awesome time at the HSH pre-Mexico party.
Yeah.
I remember you on the stage out back.
Yeah.
I have no recollection of doing
a
podcast.
I was substitute Frankie Haydick.
You were. I remember a few moments from the game. I remember, obviously, the goals. I don't remember. I didn't get to see the. I saw the TIFO, but from the south end because the line to get into the game was like 7 days long.
Yeah, I went in almost an hour and a half early.
I think the line to get out of Egypt for the Israelis, you know, way back in the day, 7,000 years ago, was shorter than the line to get into the US and Mexico game.
Well, but they parted the Red Sea, and then it was easier.
Right. And CSC did start closing gates at, you know, a quarter of eight, which was awesome.
I do want to say one thing. I got a Columbus scarf, and I'm
you got a
Columbus. Yeah.
Oh, you
Columbus
did?
Scarf. Yeah, I have a Columbus scarf.
I've got two regular scarves.
Yeah,
I'll trade you, Rachel.
I'm Columbus till I die. No, I want to keep it.
That was
I love
wonderful.
It.
That was one of those wonderful aspects. I mean, that entire day had these little things that I think,
you know,
they're just little,
aspects
that it's hard to...
Did you guys see my photo of the horse's ass from when the cops went to bust the free beer movement, guys?
Oh, That was
so fitting.
I totally see. I was in the stadium by that time, and
oh, that pissed me off so bad.
Yeah,
that pissed me off so bad. The whole thing. Basically, the story on, and this is what I'm hearing as far as the free beer movement thing. What's that? No, I'm not giving any
no
names. There were people. Free beer movement did a great thing, which was basically a bottle exchange, where if you went out and you got yourself a six pack of some local craft brew from wherever you're from, you could exchange that for you could set it down, and then you could grab just a hodgepodge of whatever
other
beers
local
you want,
beers,
of other local beers
from around the country.
So,
great idea.
Some dude from Texas shows up with some awesome local Houston beer. You can grab your beer. If some guy from Kansas City shows up with some microbrew from Kansas City, you can grab one of those. And you can bring a pack of Elevator, a six-pack of Elevator, and you can exchange it, and it's a really smart idea. It's a cool way to beer trade.
It's a great idea.
Well, some people were showing up, apparently, that didn't have any six-packs. But the guys from Free Beer Movement had bought a bunch of extra Columbus beer and a bunch of extra... I think they're from Kansas City, and
right.
I think... And I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was somebody who actually started Free Beer Movement or whatever. I'm not 100% sure. They had brought a bunch of extra beer. And they're like, well, just if you want to try one of these beers, we spent all this money on it. Just give us like $2.
Right. Just throw us a couple bucks.
Just throw us a couple bucks and whatever. Somebody got ticketed / arrested but got into the game still. So I think just ticketed.
Mm-hmm.
They were let off in handcuffs, though, for selling alcohol without a permit.
Yeah. Well.
The same thing apparently could happen to me if I'm at Crew Stadium and Justin's on his way to Crew Stadium. And I say to Justin, hey, Justin, will you pick me up a six-pack of Newcastle on the way in?
Mm.
Right.
And then I walk into the Crew Stadium parking lot and I give Justin the $9 for the six-pack of Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
That's all. But literally, when I got in there, the horse cops were lined up. It was like a military marching row of horse cops in the tailgate area.
It looked like they were in front of a cannon,
mm-hmm.
a la the Blue Jackets.
Super weird, but got into the stadium. U.S. kicked ass. I thought it was a really, really, really good match. I loved everything that Mr. Justin Bell, Mr. Morgan Hughes, and everyone else involved in Tifo Sweat did. Just incredibly amazing. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was executed very well. Apparently, the reason that, from what I've heard, the reason the fourth banner took a couple of seconds to get up is there was two rows of Mexican fans in the fourth
yeah.
segment or section there, and somebody had to run up and kind of
right.
pull it over them. But execution-wise,
Justin,
really, really well done.
I don't know if you want to divulge this, but I'm dying to know, and I meant to ask you earlier off the air, but I'll just ask right now because that's what I do. What were the dimensions of the giant home banner? Like, how tall and wide was it? Because the thing was huge.
The one in the middle was 35 feet wide by 45 feet tall.
Yeah, that's like...
The total square footage of the entire thing was just a shy of... below 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing.
That's insane.
And you painted it all by hand, and there was...
Everybody was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to get too far into this, because we only should talk about the game, really, but, like, the thing that I said to the couple of reporters who asked me things about it afterwards was after we got the thing pulled back down, everything was displayed and then, like, brought back down. I just kind of looked at everybody who had worked on this for so long, put in so many hours, and the just pure joy on their face,
mm-hmm.
all of their faces, was incredible. And I think from that point on, the rest of that night was just a dream.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the game, Elliot Stanek said to me, we were folding up the banners. We had just celebrated, literally, we had just been on the field with our national team as they celebrated going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like they had clinched, they'd come out with their champagne, and we ran over there to see what was going on. We were like 10 feet from them. We could touch them.
Yeah.
Before the security's like, hey, you guys don't have credentials. You need to go.
And then, screw you guys. Get out of here.
But even they
How
were,
often have you heard that?
Many, many times. But after, even then, they were really cool with us. I was like, we just wanted to see that. And they're like, yeah, it was really cool. But Elliot Stanek said to me, he said, Justin, do you know that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, Elliot, I do know that song. And he said, you know that line where it says life is but a dream? And I said, yeah, Elliot, I know that line. He goes, it really does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? And it, I said, yeah, Elliot. Yeah, Elliot, it really does. And that's that
Elliot
was that
is a
day.
Poet of our time.
Matt, we're going to break some news on the show. I hate to interrupt you, Justin.
No, I'm done.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is, yeah, no, this is breaking news.
This is breaking news.
This is breaking news. Chris, do you want to go ahead and do this?
Oh, can I?
This is, no, you okay. can. You can. You're our breaking news correspondent.
Dateline Northwest Columbus.
Oh, God.
A go. Squirrel has caused a power outage for nearly 10,000 AEP customers.
Squirrel!
And no, I'm not making that up at all.
It's AEP.
A squirrel.
Oh, dear God.
If it's not a land hurricane or a derecho, by God, it's a squirrel.
That squirrel's nickname is now derecho. Derecho squirrel is now a cartoon
hashtag
character.
Hashtag derecho squirrel.
No, but getting to the actual game part of it.
Well, let's talk about the game.
I was just going to say the dream thing that Justin was just saying is the reason that I don't remember a lot of what happened because it was just so surreal.
Yeah,
to be there and to just soak it all in was just.
And the whole time we were like the only thing like only in Columbus.
Yeah.
This could only happen in Columbus.
My one thing with the TIFO, I did not tell. So my friend Nick and his little brother David came into town from Indiana. The guys I went to elementary school with. Mm-hmm. I told them something was going to happen, but I didn't tell them what.
Mm-hmm.
And just they stood there slack jawed in the stadium. We were in 142. And they just stood there slack-jawed the entire time, like, this is a thing? Like, this is happening? And this is their first professional soccer game that they'd actually attended.
Yeah.
Nick's a big Chelsea fan, watches the national team on TV, but just to witness it was amazing for him. But, all right, let's talk about the game.
There was a game.
Dos Acero.
And all I want to say is Clint missed on purpose.
He totally did.
A guy like that does not miss a PK like that in that game unless he misses on purpose.
If it's blocked, that's one thing.
Different story.
Yeah, that's one thing.
But in that game, a player of that caliber does everything that he can to put that ball on frame.
Yeah.
And he missed on purpose. That's all I'm saying.
Larry, your actual expert analysis, plus did Clint miss on purpose?
I think that he did.
Yeah, Larry, I'll pay you later.
There was one explanation I heard. I can't remember if it was Steve Davis. They asked him, and he said that he was just trying to kick it as hard as he could.
Yeah.
And so either he was going to have something spectacular,
mm-hmm.
or it was going to go a mile wide, which is what happened.
So
I think he was – either way he won, he was going to win.
Oh, yeah, no matter what.
But Klinsmann's reaction after that happened
was
like giggling.
Awesome. Yeah, he just giggled. Yeah. And the crowd, too.
Well, it's so special. I mean, outside of Columbus perspective, outside of Ohio, and what happens – with these matches is, I mean, it'll never be duplicated. I don't know, you know, if they have the game here or not. I really hope they do. You know, 4-2-0 game. I mean, it's beyond legendary. It's beyond storybook.
Well, somebody wrote that it's hard. Statistically impossible to repeat that scoreline four games in a row at the same venue.
It's
the appropriate
statistically
things.
Improbable.
Okay,
it's not
fine.
Impossible because it's happened.
Wait, you took a math class this spring, didn't you?
I did.
There you go.
I did.
It's just you know, we won't know appropriately what we've experienced for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
When people are writing about it, when it's long gone and there's other things going on, it's so unique. It's so special. It's hard. It's even hard to talk about the game.
Yeah.
You know, as it happened, because the end result was 2-0.
That's all that matters.
I love the quote, the ESPN quote at the end of the night was, lightning hasn't struck twice, it's struck four times.
Yes, exactly.
Which just, to me, just gave me chills.
Yep.
I mean, that quote, and I listened to that kind of over and over and watched the end of the game over and over because I DVR'd, or I didn't DVR it, but I watched it on ESPN3, thank you.
Yeah, right.
So, but it was just, it was insane.
The thing is, it's interesting. Another thing that's interesting is that's happened in weather that has been frigid, freezing, icy, cold. It's happened in weather that is like monsoonish. It's happened in weather.
The tornado.
It's happened in like a scorching heat.
Which is a record.
Tuesday was insane.
It was
how
a
hot
record.
It was a record heat.
The players really responded to it.
Yeah.
You know, and there is someone had a video of the players coming out when they. You know, they officially clinched for Brazil. And that's one of those things you don't ever see. I mean, players know.
No.
I mean, they feel it. They like it. You know, if they're playing in Real Salt Lake or even in D.C. or Philly or wherever they're playing at these huge football stadiums, mm-hmm. there's just not that
it's not gonna happen.
Sort of thing. You don't get these the weird intimacy. Videos where
right.
Omar Gonzalez is coming out and, you know, chugging
Clint
a beer.
Clint Dempsey twerking.
Yeah,
did you guys see that one?
Yeah, I did. That was hilarious.
Did you hear the... There's been a bit of controversy about this. Apparently, the PTI guys, who are just awful human beings, by the way.
Well, yeah, no,
I mean,
they're both
I can't remember
guys,
the last time. Yeah, the
well,
last time time I watched that show, I can't even remember when. But there, I heard that they were complaining or brought up the discussion, or maybe it was one of the other terrible shows that's on ESPN in the afternoon.
Around the Horn,
where they were saying like the Americans should celebrate like they've been there before. Well,
oh my
all
God.
Right.
What
so
you,
let's
Woody
get
Hayes?
Let's understand this something here. This is what gets right down to. What we've been fighting for to keep this game in Columbus for all of these many, many weeks is that there is something that happens in that stadium, in the city, that does not happen anywhere else. I'm sorry, it does not.
Yeah.
That team comes out and they feel they have a like a tactile, physical, emotional, mental pull upon the fans, and it's equal back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
it
when
totally
you get
is.
To the game itself, they were saying, why did the game play out the way that it did with Mexico kind of controlling the first half and then or the first half of the first half and then fading at the end? And the thing was, is I think that was it. Mexico knew that, and they knew that they had to come out hard to get get an early lead. If they didn't, then they were not going to have a chance. And the United States weathered that storm. And mm-hmm. from that point on, it was just the United. It was the 11 guys on the field. It was the guys on the bench. It was all those people in the stands versus those poor guys from Mexico who, at that point, realized that they had no chance at all.
This is unique in the rivalry between the United States and Mexico. And Landon Donovan talked about it. He said it must have been so satisfying for Landon Donovan. I mean, he is our link back to pre-MLS when there was no league and,
right.
and they were just mm-hmm. playing exhibitions at international soccer. Brian Bliss was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said that they look timid. They look scared. Mm-hmm. And for someone like him, and, you know, talking to the other players on the team, that had to have been so special.
Yeah.
Because Mexico had dominated Landon Donovan's
yeah.
whole career,
life.
His childhood, his right. life. And then now to see the United States on top.
When right. And when you talk about the players who played in that game,
yeah.
like Kyle Beckerman was amazing in the soccer match.
Well, yeah. that might and be stretching it.
No,
yeah,
he was good.
He
was
good.
Really,
he was
really
good.
Good.
For Kyle Beckerman,
no.
Lights out.
There were moments during that game where he was the link between the back four and the attacking
yeah,
midfield.
I agree with that.
That no other yeah. player outside of Michael Bradley could have. And him stepping up into that role was just exactly what this team needed. We have 40 guys on this team who... potential guys on the squad.
40 guys in the pool.
Yeah, who want to,
right.
who are going to participate in that way and get this team to Brazil. And they did that. And so, yes, that's why they celebrated. This has been a marathon.
Yeah, it was an absolutely insane night. We're going to come back in a few seconds here, talk about Montreal, because that happened as well this week. A lot of stuff going on. It's...
Nice.
Yeah. So you asked for this last night. You asked
that.
For this last night at the bar.
Day.
At the bar. So that's what we're doing.
Oh, wow.
We're coming back in
I've
just
heard
a
this
second
in
here.
Forever.
Yeah, well, enjoy.
I'm gonna.
Coming back in a second, it is the Massive Report. we're back, segment two. I had to play that because Justin referred to Montreal as his mistress. Angry breakup songs.
Oh.
We do what we can. We do what we can because we must.
She's French. What am I going to do?
She is French. No, she is French. Holy crap. The crew not only beat Montreal, but come from behind and beat Montreal.
And beat them in a game they should not have won. Like, if you look at the box score for that game, you'd
I'm
go,
looking
how
at the box
this
score,
score
right now.
How did this score happen?
So how the hell did it happen? I want to go first, just because he was on the scene. Ryan Gear, our resident Montreal correspondent, was at the match. And Ryan, first of all, I want to ask, before the match started, and then also segue into during and after the match, what was it like for you being there, being one of only a couple people probably wearing yellow?
Yeah, it was basically, well, Travis Irvine, who took the train up from New York to meet me at the match. We were the only crew supporters we saw, other than, unless you count, Pippa's wife's cousin and her family that were there.
Nice, that's awesome.
Who we met at the reserves match.
You got to keep Pippa happy.
Yeah.
So I was timid. I'm not sure how people react. I assumed I'd stand up, yell for the crew, or even singing the American anthem at the start. People kind of turn around and look. And kind of throughout that, it was that way. When Travis was taking photos, someone kept trying to get their flag in the shot, their Montreal flag.
Did they seem, like, upset, but then they also bought you a beer because they were upset?
Everyone was friendly. After the match, we were standing around and waving a flag. One supporter comes up, having a great conversation. I'm glad I brought two scarves. I traded for an Impact scarf.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love the the scarf. I love the scarf that he has, though. It says Toots pour gagner on it. Is that what it says? Yeah,
for the win.
For the win.
Toots pour gagner.
Does it all? What's the French translation of "all your trophy are belong to us"?
I don't know.
That would be.
But if it
Justin
says,
probably knows.
Does it say it on the back? It says "for the win" on one side, and then "all your trophy belong to us" on the other.
I think it just says "Impact Montreal" on the
Sam's
other side.
Sam's crickets.
Crickets. Sam, why are the crickets not queued up? Are the crickets not queued up?
Sam Lamaki is telling jokes. You need to have the crickets queued up.
There they are.
You went to Joey Knuckles Stadium. So how? I'm sorry. The guy's named Joey Saputo, names a stadium after himself. I'm going to call him Joey Knuckles. That's just what's going to happen.
By the way, that cricket had a real French Canadian accent.
Did. Really well done, Sam.
Okay.
Well, cricket.
It was a cricket. Oh my god.
So all in all, though, your Montreal experience,
I love it. Great.
I'm a little behind today.
What about
Sam's still recovering?
If I spoke more French, it would have been better. Just trying to converse with some people was a little difficult.
So you're saying before next year, I need to get Rosetta Stone.
And myself, next time I go back, I need to learn French.
Are you still even allowed in
Canada? I'm allowed in Canada next year, and I'm totally going to Montreal
Toronto. Can I be your supervisor, chaperone? What's the French word for chaperone?
Chaperone.
Chaperone. Yeah. If it sounds French, it's probably a word that...
Is French.
It'd be great if it was like a...
Wait, who's fighting? I want to fight.
It'd be great if the word for chaperone was like Biff. Or something like that. Sully.
McFly.
Yeah.
So let's go into the actual analysis of the match. Larry, please bail us out of this.
Help, Larry.
Help, Larry.
All right.
Help me, Larry. You're my only hope.
I think we were talking about earlier that Montreal outplayed the crew.
Yeah. Is
that
right? They did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did. And I think that Montreal has a better team as well. But I think, you know, what a lot of people talked about was when Marshall and even the Impact players, what they talked about was when Marshall scored that goal.
Yeah.
It completely changed the attitude of the crew players.
Yeah.
And that's what Marshall can do. And that's what's so frustrating about him, I think, for a lot of fans, is that, you know, if Marshall does, he rises up, I think, Justin, you said it from like 2000, the Marshall from 2008 and scoring that goal, is that it changes the entire team. Their whole attitude changed. They came from behind. This is the first time all year that they have done that.
Yeah.
Or in the last 14 games that they have done that.
Well, it's the first time they've done it after halftime.
Yeah.
We know that because Dwight Burgess talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But it's you look at this and you look at the Oduro goal. The Oduro goal really in any other match really isn't anything special. It's kind of a weird kind of
tip in. The actual putting of the ball into the net by Dominic Oduro was pretty normal. But the service of the ball to get it to him by Federico Higuain, that was an act of God.
Well,
an Argentine God.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is that it wasn't a situation where normally that sort of goal is either, oh my God, this is amazing because it's a game changer goal.
Right.
Or it's, oh well, thank God that went in because nobody got
which
to
is
it.
What Oduro said as he was running to the corner flag.
Yeah, totally.
But those are the kind of things that happen when players play together long enough.
Yeah.
Because Higuain, he made that pass before Oduro was making that run.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking at it the first time, you thought, oh, he's offsides. He's offsides.
Right.
But you go back and look at it, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
No.
He just was, and it just comes from the fact that they have been playing with each other for the past 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, whereas if they were able to keep this team together, we'll see a lot of that next
year.
Is this
team starting to gel?
Hey!
In September.
that is a funny joke. Ha, ha, ha. The team is finally starting to gel. But it's true, and by God, it's good timing. I'd rather it happen now than 3 weeks from now all hope is lost.
Here's my question on this. We'll come back to the match in just a second here, but here's my question on this, is that the MLS Cup and the MLS Cup playoffs have traditionally been run by teams that get hot
at the right time.
At the right time. This is a team that's all of a sudden looking like, especially after this game, that they were not supposed to win. They were not supposed to win this game on paper, on Don Garber's notepad, on anybody's anything. They were not supposed to win this game. Am I getting ahead of myself here?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. I'm serious. Justin, what do you think?
Talent.
Yeah, I don't think this team is getting hot.
Okay. No, that's fair. Look, that's fair.
I don't think the
team like I'm that. Trying to get excited about something for the end of this damn season.
Well, I'm still not. By the way, I'm looking at the Montreal supporters on the screen right now as we're watching the game, the replay, and they have a Chief Wiggum banner that says ACAB.
Right. Yeah, I just, Tony Galifo's smiling at that.
You want to know why I like Montreal so much? I mean, that's part of it, but they kind of remind me of us in a weird sort of way, like a French Canadian us, but
like a much younger us.
Yeah, but look,
they're adorable.
And one of their logos is the Wu Tang logo.
Reversed. So it looks like an M.
I haven't given up on the possibility of us making the playoffs. I still, I'm like one of the last holdouts.
No, I think that the you're not one of the last holdouts. You were one of the first to realize that it's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's not.
Yeah, very well put.
It's at this point, a lot of us, myself included, after this win, are finally saying, well, you know, this team looks pretty good. They're finally starting to gel. Maybe something could happen, and the road to MLS Cup might come through Columbus.
No. It's not going to come through Columbus.
We're going to have to be on the road. If we sneak
into
the road,
no, no. Yeah. Wait, guys, Interstate 70 runs coast to coast. It could happen. You know,
true.
They put it in a Volkswagen, they drive it across the country.
It's
going to come through Columbus.
I don't think that the team is playing particularly great.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they did during the second half was they found some energy, like Larry said. I mean, they found a goal and they found some energy. And the one thing that I was saying during the first half, I didn't want to be critical of the team, you know, on the various social media platforms during the game.
The tweet webs.
Because I don't think that it's worth what should be said has been said over the course of the season where this team is. But they just didn't look like they were having any fun.
Yeah.
And it was noticeable. They looked like they were just kind of really sad. And especially after the goal, the Montreal goal, where, you know,
Please say it.
That was Lampson's ball to get.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, like, Chad Marshall, his reaction to that was really poor.
He was like a 9-year-old whose mother had just taken his Game Boy away.
Right. It was sad to
Come
see.
Come on, Mom!
Because, I mean, here's a goal where – this is a goal where our former captain – you know, he is as at fault in that goal as Lampson was. Now Lampson, if he's a 5-year veteran, he goes out and he gets that.
Yeah.
No question.
Well,
which he should have.
If you're Matt Lampson and you're a 21-year-old kid and you see Chad Marshall backtracking to go after that ball, you kind of hang back and let Chad do what Chad's going to do.
It's his.
In my book, that's all on Chad for not making any effort whatsoever to get that ball.
What's but on he Chad? Totally redeemed himself.
Yes, that's you saw exactly what I was getting at. Like at halftime, it was almost like they kind of found a reason to just kind of play and play soccer and enjoy their soccer.
Well,
and he did. When he went after that ball and scored the goal, it was like seeing Chad Marshall from 2008 all over again. How he made that leap in those 20 minutes.
The biggest thing is that you look at this right now, you've got a total of a potential of 50 points for the crew. That if they win out, which I'm not saying they're going to do, but I'm just saying if they do, it's 50 points, right?
I really wish we were live right now.
New York is at 48.
Because I've got a question, and I know that Larry might have an answer, but I know Nate Beckman has this answer.
I know Larry's going to have the answer no matter what.
So the question is that if we have a potential of 50 points, right, what is the number that the fifth-place team right now, who is it?
It's Chicago.
Chicago.
39. Well, Chicago and Philly are tied Chicago ahead.
Right. So how many points are they going to wind up with? How many points will it take for us to get into the playoffs? For any team to make the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference?
As it stands right now, it's 47. But there's a qualifier there because the way they set up the schedule is a lot of the conference teams are playing each other in the East and the West.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And so right now it's 47. We're at a single table. You could probably rely on that. But because
we don't have playoffs, but whatever.
that's a thing. Because the crew are playing Chicago, New England twice, and all this other stuff.
Yeah,
that number is likely not going to be 47 by the end. It's more likely to be up around 50.
So still not completely out of the realm of possibility because all it takes is 50 points to get into.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm not going to answer that. As an analyst, I can't.
There definitely is. I'll say it. There definitely is a chance. I mean, this is the bizarre part of Major League Soccer, having divisions and as much parity as there is. Those last two games that we were all kind of worried that they weren't going to mean anything, the home and home series against New England, which be spectacular.
It's going to be freaking brilliant.
If both of those two teams go in there like 6-7 or 5-6 on the table, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
That's a possibility now.
This weekend.
We're going to talk a little bit more about playoff chances coming up in the third segment here. We'll do that, and then I'm going to defend Dwight Burgess. that's the third segment. I'm going to defend Dwight Burgess.
Wait, you're not going to piss off a local weatherman? You're going to defend one?
He's not a local weatherman.
Neither is Jared Smalley.
I don't care. I don't care. He is, to me, he's always a local weatherman.
Fair enough.
I'm still blocked on Twitter, so screw that guy.
Well.
We're going to go the whole way with Popeye. Yeah. No,
we totally are. Because, by God, Brian Blaze opened up a can of spinach.
Oh, yeah, no, he totally. Anthony Precourt does do that. I'm going to talk through this entire thing so you can't do this. And you actually have to do my real bump for the end of the Montreal segment.
Aces called
it. Aces
it
did call
spinach.
It. No, it was a can of spinach. I was very
with
pleased
a sign
by
of
that.
Bass.
I was going to ask Ryan
another question while Sam just does his own thing.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take my headphones out. But, like, the overall experience, the stadium experience in Montreal, was it different than what it was like in Columbus? And
other than the French chants.
And would you, and do you think that, how does that kind of translate into what you think is going to happen coming in the next few years if Anthony Precourt is indeed going to
seem like
the stadium
most of the stadium actually seemed like more into it. Like, you know, pockets of crew seating that just kind of go, and a lot of them, you know, they have supporters, their main supporters are on one side, and they have side supporters and side sections with different call and response in French, of course.
There's more than one supporter section.
Canada.
Allez Impact Montréal, something like that.
Allez Impact.
Did they have capos leading the call and response?
No,
of course they didn't. Because
you know why?
Because
they're real soccer.
Because they're sane.
My God.
So there was basically there was more than one supporter section.
Yeah.
And did do you think? Like, it's hard for me because I haven't really seen.
It's a little smaller than I think it was sold out. It was sold out. Right. And 20,000.
Yeah.
A little over 20,000.
And it's like one level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a roof all the way around.
Yeah, it's right next to Olympic Stadium, where the Expos used to play when they had baseball in Montreal.
So what's the neighborhood like?
Exposition à la Montreal.
Tell me, Ryan.
Yeah.
What are the water tables like in Montreal?
I'm really curious about this because I...
But I kept watching those replays. I kept seeing them because they had TVs in the metro stations. And so we kept watching the replays since hockey hasn't started yet. That's the main sport. And so they kept showing highlights of that day's game.
God, that'd be
and
nice.
And so I kept seeing like
mass transit, not Marshall scored TVs in mass transit.
Looked like impact. You know, they kind of let off a little bit and didn't really any pressure on Marshall on that set piece. And like, he was able to get in there.
So the tailgate, did they have tailgates?
I didn't see much of a tailgate.
No, they don't. Was they don't Putin in Canada because it's not legal.
It's not legal
no,
to tailgate?
No, it's not legal to tailgate in Canada. I know that because of the people who went to Toronto.
So that's why the CFL isn't cool.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. All right. We're going to cut this short. We're going to come
so
back
many
and
more
just
questions.
No. We'll come back in
You're
the third segment.
You're asking the wrong questions, okay. Justin.
Well, settle down. We're going to come back in the third segment. We'll talk a little more Montreal, and then I'm going to defend Dwight Burgess, and we're going to talk playoffs. It's coming up. This is the Massive Report. Inside and outside, blew his house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen to. I'm blue, I've been need, I've been dying. Report. By the way, I do want to do a quick live commercial here right now because, it's my microphone. I'm going to do what I want. If you are interested in getting the home shirt that will help support hashtag Tifo Sweat, go to massivecityffc.bigcartel.com and grab yourself one.
Also, if you're interested in Nordeca tickets for this weekend's upcoming Eastern Conference rivalry match against the dreaded Chicago Fire, then go ahead and go to Hudson Street.
I love how you hooked that just for a second.
Hudson Street Hooligans. Thank you. I learned from the best, Dad. Go to HudsonStreetHooligans.com, and all of the tickets are available there. Hashtag all the tickets. There is a discount for Hudson Street Hooligans members.
Yeah.
If you're not a member, your $5 will pay for itself by the end of the year.
Yeah.
By God.
It will. By God, it will pay for itself. I'm just saying. So, going back to the Montreal match here for just a second, and I really think this is an interesting discussion to have, and I want to have Justin kind of tee off on this for a second here. Mr. Precourt, who is the brand new owner of Los Columbus Crew.
Aces
is the new owner of Columbus Crew. Been a big fan, apparently, according to Twitter and according to what we've heard of Sporting Kansas City.
Yes.
Justin has some thoughts on this, and I would like to kind of go into that a little bit, because I nothing against Sporting Kansas City. I don't think.
Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, they did everything right.
Yeah,
their logo is horrible.
Yeah, their logo looks like the Eastern Conference logo.
Yeah, I was thinking of right guard, but whatever.
Right guard as well. Yeah.
Other than that, bang on, job.
But good for them.
Bang on.
It's true. Like Sporting Kansas City is the palace du jour of MLS right now. Right?
Well, you take a team that probably would have been contracted if it was in Florida in
2001.
And you go from there.
That brings up a good point, though. I mean, so we keep reading these things about like how Anthony Precourt and the front office, and they're taking members of the Franklin County
commissioners,
the mayor, and they're going to. They're visiting Sporting Kansas City.
Now. Also, Sam has snacks, just so you know.
I think Sam's got some munchies.
They visited them twice, from what I understand.
Yeah, and that's All-Star game.
That's a pretty big deal, and it's really apparent that he's very taken with the way that they've done things.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, they've done a fantastic job.
They have.
Then, you know, this past week we've heard that Don Garber announced that there are 3 of the 4 expansion slots have been filled.
They've been spoken for.
And I don't know if that's even including New York City.
Because New York is 20. Yeah. He's talking about 21 through 30. 21
so there's
through 24.
4 beyond New York City.
Correct.
And, it's assumed that those 3 are
Orlando,
Miami, and Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Oy.
Now, think about that. Think about those 2 of those sports cities are terrible.
Yeah.
We don't really know about Orlando other than the fact that they have a very successful minor league team where they have been inflating their attendance numbers.
Yeah.
They also have Disney World, which makes for a great weekend trip.
But I think Orlando is going to be a good soccer city. I'm not sure about Miami. I think Miami will probably be good at first and then kind of fade off. And I think Atlanta is a terrible decision. And Atlanta is a terrible decision for many reasons, but one of those is because I think Arthur Blank is their kind of the person that they want to bring in be their ownership.
Yeah.
And he is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, and he has basically said that he wants to have a soccer team be a co-tenant in a new football facility.
When did it quit being a requirement of the MLS to...
When the rich NFL owners started deciding that they want to spend money.
Well, when they want to expand into the Southeast, and the only people that are willing to work with them are people in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at, I guess, is this, is that we want to have another soccer-specific stadium in Columbus.
Yeah.
And if they're looking at Sporting Kansas City as a model, then it seems like the possibility is that they're going to look for some place outside of the downtown area. They're going to definitely move the location from the fairgrounds. And, I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go. I mean, if there's other people who are basically going to be building football NFL stadiums in whatever part of Atlanta, then why do we have to follow a prescribed way of doing things?
Yeah.
Why can't we figure out a new way to do things? And when I was asking Ryan earlier about what the environment is around Saputo Stadium, I mean, I think that should be an option for us. If it's kind of congested, if there's, like, neighborhoods around Saputo Stadium, I don't know.
Not really. I mean, because of the train system, metro system in Montreal, it made it real easy to get from where I was staying in central area to the stadium in maybe about 15, 20-minute train ride.
BFE.
But that's
another issue.
That was built up because of the Expos.
I guess
the Olympics, the Expos.
I'm saying that I don't think Kansas City, the city, is a template for Columbus, Ohio. I think Columbus, Ohio is a very unique place. And we saw it on Tuesday, and the conversations afterwards, people are saying, wouldn't it be great if 4 or 5 or 6 times out of the season we had an environment like we had on Tuesday at Crew Stadium. Crew Stadium, that's just that I'm pointing at right now. I mean, that Crew Stadium, we could do that. It's going to take a lot of... There would be a lot of effort to make that stadium bring it up to date. But that is holy ground for the United States men's national team.
Yeah.
That's holy ground for Major League Soccer. Why can't we rethink this and say we don't want to put this out by Easton, or we don't want to put this down south by the...
Well, it can't be out by Easton.
Well,
and it can't be
example,
down south.
But that's
it can't. And here's why I'm going to say this. Chris is rolling his eyes at me right now. But it can't be there.
No. I'm not rolling your eyes at those statements. Those statements are
from where we're sitting right now in 2013, those statements are dead on.
Yeah.
I 80% disagree with what Justin said, that KC is exactly the blueprint that we need to be, that Anthony Precourt needs to be using, because he created excitement around a soccer team in a football town. Kansas City is a football town. No matter how bad
the NFL town.
An NFL town. Yeah. Tell me that the Ohio State Buckeyes are not as Tell me the Ohio State Buckeyes are not as exciting as the Kansas City Chiefs. Somebody tell me that. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how bad the
Willie's
Kansas City
weekly bum tossing is going to happen here right in just a second. I don't know.
It doesn't matter how bad the Chiefs are on paper. They're always going to be the number one sports draw in that town.
Well, yeah.
The Royals could win a World Series, and nobody would bat it.
Yeah, they did in 85.
Yeah, and nobody would bat an eye because they're not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So what Anthony Precourt needs to do is to create excitement around a soccer team in a football city, which is exactly what the guys that run Sporting Kansas City did. Now, granted, Precourt has the luxury, if you will, of using the models that have come before him in Kansas City, in Seattle, as much as I hate to say it, in Montreal, of all of the things he can take, all of the things that they did correctly and all of the things that worked in those cities, and put them to use here. Now, granted, moving the stadium might be on the horizon, but right now you need to create an atmosphere at the stadium that we have, which is holy ground for the national team and for the MLS.
The problem is take away the fact that it's holy ground for
exactly
the national team. Take away that it's the first soccer specific stadium in the entire country. Take that away.
Major League Soccer.
And it's second in the country.
Jesus, Charleston. I don't care about Blackbaud Stadium.
Charleston doesn't
Nobody
matter.
Cares about Blackbaud Stadium.
It's really
Screw
pretty.
You, Charleston Battery. Screw you. You opened like 3 days beforehand because you didn't follow any OSHA codes. Anyway, take all that away.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Blackbaud Stadium.
Don't go to Blackbaud Stadium. It's dangerous.
Safe. It's not safe.
Don't be a worker at Blackbaud Stadium.
But take all that away. You have a situation. People are talking about, let's put something out at Easton. Let's put something at Polaris. Let's put something in Grove City.
No. It's going to be Easton. It's going to be Easton because you take Easton. It's got to be Easton because you take the model that KC has.
So what money
what
is
behind
Easton?
What a terrible model that is then.
No, if it's
what a
gonna
terrible
be, if,
model.
Honestly, if it's really going to be anywhere, it's either going to be either Polaris, because there is space out there, or it's going to be like New Albany.
No. I'm saying Easton.
It's not going to be South.
I'm saying
but
Easton.
But what? Okay.
Why am I saying Easton?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's why I'm saying Easton.
And then I'm going to debunk you.
Because the thing that gets people to soccer games in a football town is things to do before and after the game. I hate to say this. It goes against everything that I believe in. But the truth is that people only go to soccer games because it's fun. And it's only fun when you can get hammered before the game and then go get dinner after the game.
Boy, I disagree.
And there is a ready.
I disagree with that. I horrendously disagree with this.
We all around this table completely disagree with that because we're there for the soccer. But Joe Schmo, Ohio State fan, and his wife and three kids, they
problem.
Want something
not
to
going
do.
To, are not going to drive.
Yes, they will because
to
they Easton. You can have dinner at Ruby Tuesdays at Easton and then go
Boy,
to the soccer
is,
game and then go
no,
to GameWorks
no.
afterwards.
You can't
There's a ready-made entertainment Chris, district there.
You can't,
there's no Ruby Tuesday
the,
Easton.
The thing that, no the thing that worries me is that that's exactly what they're looking at. And they're looking at all of the stuff that's around the stadium.
I agree with you. No. I agree with you. But that from a business standpoint, Easton is the smartest move inside Franklin County.
It's absolutely not the smartest move.
From a business standpoint.
It's the easiest move to
make money.
No, it's the easiest move to communicate to the people who are going to make this decision.
Yeah.
And that is a shame.
Yeah.
No, and you're exactly right. My heart completely agrees with everything that you're saying. But my head
but
that knows that the bottom line is all about making money says
the,
that you want
people
to come.
At the end of the day, there's not the infrastructure at Easton.
Yes, there
to
is.
To bring people.
We're like way in the weeds on this. I mean, it's really simple. We saw an example of this on Tuesday. I mean, those people were not here.
There were 25,000 soccer fans at the stadium on Tuesday.
So let's cut that by a fifth.
Okay, so
and so we have 18. Let's say we have 20,000 showing up, or even 18,000 showing up on a regular basis, and
four
then
fifths,
on four or five or six times a season, it's full. Let's just take that as a goal.
Yeah,
I mean, I think these are things that can be done, but you have to do it in a way that says that the event itself is enough. It can't just be...
But in this town, the event itself is not enough.
I think it can be. I honestly think it can be. And I think we saw an example of that on Tuesday.
I think attendance numbers that we've put up, as far as the crew goes, I think the attendance numbers that we put up over the summer disagree with that.
But the thing that you guys are missing is
this.
How
many promotions were there, though? Look, how many times did we see the parking lot full of school buses where they gave high school soccer teams half-price ticket?
That doesn't really matter. And this is the thing. This is the reason why. On Tuesday night, the highest percentage television audience
ever
of any place in the city,
ever,
any place in the country, was in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
They had a 5.1 share.
Yep.
Those are people who are tuning in to watch a soccer match in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. My parents, who could give a crap.
Wasn't Dayton like third?
Dayton was third.
It was huge in Ohio. And people are going to... They look at that as saying, that happened at Crew Stadium.
Yep.
This is something that we can develop.
Those people don't care if it's Crew Stadium or some stadium in Easton.
The challenge is trying to figure out how to translate what happened on Tuesday into the crew.
Mm-hmm. That's
what pre-court's trying to figure out
right now.
I mean,
exactly.
I just don't think... final thought on it, because...
Because it's your show.
I don't think it's at Easton. I think it might be downtown. I don't necessarily agree with it being downtown, but I think it might be downtown. But what I'm saying is that I think that trying to develop the Lowe's area, the area north of the stadium, I think is a much more viable option.
The only thing that I would request is that it's a Columbus solution, and it's not a Kansas City solution.
Right.
Yeah.
That is,
it's
going to
be an amalgamation of everything
that's what I'm concerned about as well.
Yeah.
Is that so? I want to do this real quick before we go into the Chicago game. I want to defend Dwight Burgess.
Defend?
Yeah.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now. I mean it. Anyone who has a problem with her, you deal with me, because she's not well right now.
I do. And this is what I'm going to say. You're welcome. You're welcome, all of you.
Steve Abreu was rolling his eyes so hard, I think he just pulled an ocular muscle.
Well, good. That'll make it easier to steal his beer when I go to New England in October. I want to talk about Dwight Burgess, though. I do. I really do. And I want to talk about Dwight Burgess.
And Dwight Burgess is doing God's work.
No. Here's my thing. Dwight Burgess takes a copious amount of crap on the internet.
You were going to say something.
What do you think I was
going to
say?
I thought that was going in a different direction, and then you made a hard right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually going to.
Yep.
Like, I'm not
going to make fun of
Dwight Burgess right now.
No.
No. Dwight Burgess gets crapped on a lot
by
the Columbus Crew.
Twitterati.
The Twitterati.
Twitterati.
I guess you could say. By Justin Bell.
What?
And whoever.
Said anything.
And the guy that runs the Hudson Street Hooligans Twitter account. I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you.
I love Dwight Burgess.
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, is Dwight Burgess the best soccer announcer that's ever come out of any city ever in the world? No. No, I don't think that. Is Dwight Burgess a decent guy that actually gives a crap about Columbus and is trying to do what he can as far as that goes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think I know where you're going with this. Dwight Burgess has an extremely crappy situation to deal with.
Yeah.
He has to call games that are happening at least two time zones away from a studio down on Riverside Drive.
I was just about to say that. No, not
I knew
on
you
Riverside
were.
Drive. He's driving to Columbus, or he's driving to Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. He's driving to Cleveland these days.
He's driving from Columbus to Cleveland
to
call these damn games.
Right.
He doesn't even get to do it in the city that the game is happening in.
And sometimes his cohort, Chris, whatever his name is, that used to work for Chicago, doesn't feel like making that drive to Cleveland.
No, he just gets delayed at Swenson's.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He swings by Swenson's, and their barbecue pulled pork distracts him.
I actually don't blame him for that.
No, I don't either. Their barbecue pulled pork and their burgers. They put brown sugar in their burgers.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Super tasty. But here's my whole point on this, is that you have Dwight Burgess, who's – and I talked to Duncan. When Duncan –
was
still lived here, and when he still talked to a bull, but it's kind of a pain in the ass situation. You got to drive to Cleveland, and then you're calling the games watching a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what's going on at the game other than what's being fed to you on this television
and
feed.
You don't know what's going to be fed to you on the television feed because you have no contact with the director who's calling, who's picking the shots.
Well, the director is the other team.
No, that's
director.
What I'm saying is yeah, Dwight totally. Just sees something on the screen and talks about it.
So all I'm saying is, Crew Nation, before we wrap this segment up and we go in and we talk about Chicago for a little bit.
Larry looks like he's got something
wait,
on
wait,
his mind.
Yeah, wait, you got to remind Larry.
I feel bad for Dwight.
I do.
The thing that even puts him further behind is that we don't have anybody. We don't have anybody from the press that gets sent to away games at all,
unless they pay for it themselves.
Yeah.
Well, right. Neil Sagan.
Yeah. Neil's the only one.
But Neil's the only one.
He's producing it as it happens. He's not doing any sort of post game recaps or anything like that. And so there is no field report. There's no like boots on the ground from these away games. So it's like Montreal could tell us anything that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
We'd be like, well, okay.
Aliens landed. And Federico Aguayo was beamed up to their mother.
Dwight's got a big screen in front of him, and he's reading his Twitter feed as his boots
and
on the ground.
It's a giant problem that Fox Sports Ohio has. Also, the Dispatch has as well. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. It was a longtime Dispatch columnist that said soccer is, you know, it's one of those soccer's made it in Columbus after the U.S. game that happens every 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's like soccer hasn't made it until you're sending our beat writer to
exactly.
Away games.
Yeah.
When you're not making our beat writer drive his own car to Chicago to cover a match.
If Dwight Burgess is at the game, if Adam Jardy is at the game, if whomever else from the media is at the game, that's when soccer really has made it as far as that goes. And that's my point.
That's when we can evaluate. We can say Dwight. Here's the deal.
All of those things.
Stop crapping on Dwight.
All of those things are dependent on getting 20,000 fans into the stadium every week.
Yeah.
You're saying that Dwight's all right.
Dwight?
He's all right.
Dwight's
all right. All right. We're going to come back, talk about Chicago. It's coming up next. This is the Massive Report. Segment 4, Massive Report. All right, Justin Bell, well done there.
Yeah, let that roll.
I'm gonna let Justin Bell blame all credit for that bump because well done, sir.
Blame all credit?
No, I'm gonna claim.
Oh, claim.
Claim all
it's,
credit.
It's my 70s funk soul brother persona.
Whoa, Justin, have you gone to the dark side? Is that some Maker's Mark on the rocks?
I asked Willie to hook me up. He got Maker's Mark and ginger ale.
What?
Nice.
Somebody needs to come up, show up at Hand Dogs real quick. Oh, we're not live. Dang it.
We're not live. I know. Sam, why do you wreck everything?
So if you want us to be live next week, email Sam angrily. As he says, bring it on.
So we play Chicago this week.
Chicago.
Hey. The bridge you fire.
Duh fire.
Duh fire. Duh fire. Justin has all the details from the Chicago New England match, so I'm gonna defer to him real quick. What do you think's gonna happen?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. I mean,
you got Maniac McGee. That's the scary part.
Yeah, that team is.
Which, by the way, how have the Chicago fans not latched onto that?
Well, because they're not creative and they're kind of.
How did the LA fans not latch on to?
They all latched on to Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
They totally did.
Magic Mike.
Until the populace cutter realized, like, wait, what?
Yeah,
wait,
the first thing I would have done is McGee signed with Columbus is Maniac McGee. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's a no-brainer, which is why we can do it, but they don't
Maniac Kistable.
They don't have brains in Chicago, so.
But I mean, I don't know about this team. I mean, Larry and I were talking about this before the podcast. I felt bad for New England in this match on Saturday because I thought they were actually a better side from the beginning. But Chicago has a quality about them that's hard to put your finger on. I mean, they have, looking at this team, you think they have Mike McGee, Jeff Lorenowitz, and Joel Impaire on this team.
Yeah.
Those are three real quality MLS players.
Yeah.
Who you don't think about them as playing for the Chicago Fire.
No.
I mean, they don't seem like Fire players. But there they are, and they get results, and they're doing well. Dilly Duca, when he came on later in the match, it's just impressive as heck.
I love that kid. I know he plays for our most hated rivals, but I love Dilly Duca.
He's got a lot.
As a human being.
I thought that was Salt Lake.
You need a moment, Chris.
Let's talk about that.
Sorry, guys.
Dilly Duca fist bump.
Right.
But, like, he's an impressive player. Patrick Nyarko is another kind
Five
of impressive player.
Firehead.
Sean Johnson, the first goal in this game, Sean Johnson kind of had a Sean Johnson moment.
Olympic moment.
But he was beaten fairly. The goal came on, it looked like a strange touch. It was Kellen Rowe, who for New England, who has had a few of these kind of distance goals, almost Adam Moffat type goals.
Yeah.
Got Sean Johnson on one of those kind of goals at the beginning of the match. It was a wicked goal, though. But from that point on, I mean, it was kind of a back-and-forth match, but Chicago outlasted them, played a good game, and came up with the result.
Yeah.
Now, we've lost to this team three times now this season.
Yeah.
Three times we've lost to the Chicago Fire.
In ugly matches.
Yes.
They have not been pretty.
Oh, God, ugly as hell.
Nobody has played good soccer in those matches.
So if we go 0-4 against this team this season, I don't know how you...
That's super depressing.
Well, I don't know how anybody
is Chicago.
How does anyone survive
Chicago's
that?
Montreal?
Are we Chicago? What?
No, we're Chicago's Columbus. Unfortunately,
that's fair.
And it shouldn't be like that.
You look at even the 08 championship season. We drew every match with Chicago,
except for
the Open Cup match. We drew in regulation.
Yeah,
we drew it in regulation, and I'm not talking about the playoffs, obviously. Right. That's the one exception to the rule. But you look at that, you look at when's the last time we won in Bridgeview?
You always ask this question when we're playing Chicago. And
yeah,
I always forget
knows.
It.
Yeah, it's,
it was
it's,
like,
no,
it's
been like
eons ago.
Like 2006 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan was sober at that point. Like, it's been a while.
Wasn't he like 17 then?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
By the way, nice shirt.
Yeah.
Mike Watt and the Missing Men.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
All right.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, Chicago has kind of become our boogeyman.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's rightfully so, but it's true.
No, it is true.
It's true.
I don't like to admit it. I don't like to talk about
it. I've been to Chicago a number of times.
Yeah.
And a draw
is a good result.
Is a good result. There.
Whether they're here or we're there, a draw is a good result against Chicago.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter because Chicago has traditionally, in the last 5 years, been worse than us.
Yeah. Statistically worse than us. They could be bottom of the table like they have been pretty much every year up until now.
Yeah.
Over the course of the past 5 years.
Yeah, even this year when they played us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were their turnaround game.
Yeah.
If we were to go back to...
Wow, we were their rebound.
If we were to go back early in the season and look at, the crew, we had a few good results and everybody was talking about how we beat Chivas and Toronto and we were riding high and then we go up to Chicago...
And Chicago makes
us look ugly.
They're hurting.
Super ugly.
Yeah.
And then we could have, honest to God.
That game was really frustrating.
It was, yes. Because
I was
we had
at
a chance.
That game. That game was not frustrating. That was the single worst away game I've ever been to. And I was at the Houston game in 2008
that was
where
the
we
crew,
lost 2-0.
That was the crew at full strength.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no excuse
but
to
the team
lose that
hadn't
game.
Gelled yet. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
God. But think about it. You know, at the time, I think we said if they win this match, they can put Chicago down for the season.
Yeah, I think
we threw them a big old lifeline.
Yep.
And
they took full advantage.
Yeah, they've capitalized on it. I mean, now they've got a... They have a team that... I mean, if they make the playoffs, it's possible that they could do a lot of damage in the playoffs. But it's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs.
Unlikely. This game for them, I think this weekend, is a little bit different than the Crew in that they see it as their lifeline to stay in the playoff race,
mm-hmm.
where the Crew see it as we need to win this game just to stay in the picture.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stay relevant.
Yeah. And so I think the Chicago, they worry about that. They've beaten the Crew three times. And, you know, the Crew are really in a desperate place where they want to be relevant for the last five games.
I'm gonna go to Justin real quick on this question. Do you think a lot of Chicago fans show up without travel subsidies?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, too.
I have no idea.
Does Firehouse East get a tax abatement?
I don't know. I'm just curious. What a bunch of nerds.
I'm just curious. Yeah, super nerds. But,
Did you call them nerds?
Yeah. They're totally nerds.
Nerds.
I mean...
All right.
No, yeah. I don't know. I honestly, I don't care.
I'm just curious.
Screw those guys.
It just feels like there's a lot of apprehension on the Chicago side this weekend.
Yeah.
And that bodes well for the Crew.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not this is a make or break game for either team is probably a little bit overblown because there's so many conference games. I mean, I say so many, but there's still four more games where basically Houston, Columbus, Chicago, New England, they're all playing each other.
Yeah.
And so... It's a big game, certainly,
mm-hmm.
but both Columbus and Chicago are going into this like, you know, we're scared.
Yeah.
You know, both teams losing this game would be a disaster.
It's like white-knuckle time, honest to God. I mean, they're hanging on for dear life. I mean, as for the fans, they do a good job coming here, and I can't hate them for that. I mean, they do well.
Oh, I can.
So.
Screw them.
Yeah. We hate them for other reasons, but, you know, they actually... The last game too, one of their new striker Anonganos actually scored a pretty decent goal.
Yeah,
I mean, so if you think about it, they have two good forwards. It's going to be interesting because I look at our back four in this last match. My goodness, I mean, we were trying to remember who actually played at our back four as a starting back four, and it was Chad Barson on the right. Tyson Wall next to Chad Marshall. Tyson Wall next to Chad Marshall.
Yeah.
Tyson Wall.
He was basically invisible that game.
Yeah.
For large stretches.
He did take an actual free kick instead of Higuain, which is interesting. And then on the left was Augustin Viana, who is just a fighter.
Yeah.
How much do you love this guy? I want him to continue to play. And, you know, when he did not start against Real Salt Lake, was it? He did not...
That
play, it was weird.
That brings up a good point, and I know that I'm going to get off topic here a minute, but
go for it.
You just said that you love Augustin Viana because he's a fighter, and you want him to keep playing. Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah.
Club. Yeah.
Do you think that? And I hate to say this because I don't want to beat this dead horse again.
Beat it.
But because of Robert Warzea no longer being here, do you think that kind of automatically extended the time that a lot of guys, Augustin Viana included, I'm also thinking of Jairo Arrieta,
mm-hmm.
remain in Columbus?
Good question.
I think that Augustin Viana's time in Columbus was automatically extended with the departure of Robert Warzea. Automatically. I think that had this happened last year, we'd still have Milo Anamorosevic on the field.
Mm,
yeah,
that's an interesting.
And so that's kind of what I'm getting at is Augustin Viana, Jairo Arrieta were headed down that Morozovic path where they were just screw this program, I'm out of here. But now that Robert Warzea is gone, I see them sticking around just a little bit longer and seeing how things play out.
Are you considering that a bad thing or
no? I'm considering it a great thing.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I don't want to put down Robert because Robert did a lot of great things for his club over the course of the 17 years that he was here, but his departure is going to pave the way for a lot of guys that are currently on the team and currently very valuable to the club to stick around longer than they perhaps would have had he been here at the end of the year. I'm not going to.
Yeah, stop touching things, Chris.
Yell, Sam.
I think that's all going to depend on what happens with Bliss.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Bliss is the one who's put this team together.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Bliss stays, we only see about a 30% turnover.
the normal rate.
The normal rate.
Right.
I think if Bliss goes, we could probably see a 50 to possibly a 60%.
Well, that depends on who comes in.
Exactly. But whoever comes in is going to want to form the team their way. I mean, the problem with Bobby is that they were drafting and they were signing players that were great, and they brought them here and made them play different positions.
Right.
Yeah.
And they couldn't perform nearly
Which is
well.
Why Marosevic left.
What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about that? Let's talk about Bliss.
I think that it depends on, does Brian Bliss stay on as a coach, or does he stay on in a different role? Let's say, in pipe dreams, go ahead, shoot me, whatever. Let's say that Guillermo takes the head coaching role, and Brian Bliss becomes director of soccer operations, just to throw something out. Yeah. I don't think that has any impact on whether or not guys want to stay in Columbus.
I think that a lot of people would love to see Guillermo
I would love
come
to see
into
that.
Any role in this club. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I really yet. Don't.
So
it's
then,
not.
So then the question becomes, yeah, Brian Bliss doesn't become head coach. He becomes director of soccer operations, and a guy like Steve Nichol becomes head coach.
Yeah.
Those are the questions. Steve Nichol, pick your other favorite candidate. Are those guys going to play for that new head coach who's well known and has done things in MLS and all of the things that the club says that they want in a head coach? Does that inspire these players who would otherwise be on the fence or have one foot out the door to stick around?
Larry,
well, to talk to the point, I mean, of what works in Major League Soccer is that reducing the amount of change with your roster is
yeah.
extremely important, no matter how right. much the fans dislike a certain player, even if it's Tyson, a player like Tyson.
Oh, God, Tyson.
Andreas Mendoza.
Andreas Mendoza.
Andreas.
Can we talk about Andreas
Mendoza?
As long as we talk,
Sergio Herrera.
As long as we talk about the leading scorer of Major League of yeah. the crew over the past 5 years, but. God,
is he really over the last 5 years? He's the leading scorer.
13 goals, I think, is.
Oh
is
my
the,
god!
But what works in Major League Soccer is keeping your team together. We talked about it earlier this evening. Is Adoro might not be the best solution, but playing longer with Higuain, you
yeah.
see mm-hmm. something. What happened? I mean,
yeah.
that's a goal that wins you games because they played
because
some
they,
games.
They
together.
Know one another, and
right?
Higuain plays that ball, and Adoro just runs
right.
onto it.
And so the formula isn't complicated in this league. Keep the players together and they start to gel because the talent is relatively negligible once you get past your top 6, 7, 8 players. And so if they're familiar with each other, you're going to make the playoffs.
So
statistically, you are more likely to make the playoffs than miss them.
Yeah.
Because there's
yeah.
more teams that make the playoffs.
There are.
Ooh. And so if the crew are missing
up until next year.
If the crew are missing the playoffs, they're doing something extremely wrong. Mm-hmm. A team like Montreal, who's only been in the league for a little bit, is dominating the league because they kept the same players year over year.
Yeah.
And these guys are familiar with each other. They're good players, but they also know how to win.
So, okay, and I'm going to use a joking cliche that we have used many, many times on this program, but I'm going to ask a very serious question with it. Which was the more important dismissal? Was it the dismissal of Robert Orzea or the dismissal of Robert Orzea's bingo hopper?
I don't know the bingo hopper got dismissed.
Well, yeah, Robert had to take it with him because Brian Bliss doesn't use the bingo hopper.
Is there? Well, I don't know.
He's getting a role in the front office working under Phil Goldfarb.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who am I going to call next?
Okay.
Ask
so,
about
so,
tickets,
so
I,
you know,
I think
I mean,
officially,
but you know what I'm saying.
Officially, the bingo hopper is gone because
yeah.
what
right.
we saw last weekend was Brian Bliss making smart starting decisions. He also made
exactly
very smart,
and that's where my question comes from. Is it's no longer just random. This guy performed well in practice this week. It's these guys know each other and play well together.
Yeah. Reacting to the situation on the fly. I mean, one of the things I really loved about the last game with Montreal was putting Ethan Finley in there and moving Adoro up to the top.
Exactly, that was a very smart, educated soccer decision.
Right, you know, a goal happened right after, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can chalk that up to, okay, that was his chance. But adding Ethan Finley and pushing Adoro from the midfield to the top, it's almost like having two subs at one time because Adoro wasn't doing anything in the midfield.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I agree with
that was it's not like he's a genius coach or anything for doing that. But at the same time, he was doing something to put the team in the situation to win, where Zia never did it.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that. It's not that Brian Bliss is a genius coach. It's just that he makes smarter decisions.
Right. He's using the tools that are available.
Exactly.
I agree. All right, we're gonna go around the table here real quick. Justin, do you have something before we did that?
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Speaking of genius coaches, like, how about that Jurgen Klinsmann?
How about that Jurgen Klinsmann?
Larry almost just spit out his maker's mark.
No, how about that Bob Bradley?
Unsettlingly happy German.
Yeah, unsettlingly happy.
A German giggled in Columbus, Ohio.
How about that Bob Bradley?
Woo!
Let's get him in before the World Cup.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, though.
Not until he beats Ghana. Yeah,
that's true. But one thing that I wanted to say, though, is, you know, we were talking about, like, changes coming up and stuff. Could we get Mix Diskerud to play for Columbus more often?
I will start a Kickstarter.
He was so happy to have been here. He loved this crowd. He loved the city.
We need to take him to all of the Liz Lesnar restaurants.
Oh, geez. I don't care what it takes.
Get him to Surly Girl and then Tiki Room.
Oh,
and
breakfast
then
at Jerry Room.
Dirty Frank's.
Yep,
Dirty
and then finish the night off at 16-bit. He's in. Yeah, and I realize totally. That's not a Liz Lesnar restaurant, but you know what I'm saying here.
It's next to a Liz Lesnar restaurant. Right. You're good to go.
That guy was unbelievable, and we got to get him on this team.
All right, let's
sell a kidney.
So what were we talking about before?
We're gonna talk about score predictions, because we gotta kill this thing.
Mixed
discord. We gotta kill it.
Score predictions.
Yeah, Chris.
I'm gonna be a complete homer on this one and pull from the Justin Bell optimism and say 2-1 to the Crew.
Cool, Justin.
I'm gonna say 5-0 to the Crew.
Oh!
That's a legit
high
score,
five.
Larry.
It's gonna be an exciting blowout for either side.
How's that? No, that
somebody's gonna win 3-1.
You have to put something down.
It's been
on paper.
17 games since the Crew had a draw. It's gonna be a draw.
Oh god, that makes my heart hurt.
Wow, Larry. 17.
Well,
games.
You Larry had the 5-0. I had to, you know.
Ryan, get in here.
I'm going to say 3-1 Crew.
Yes.
Yeah, 3.
Good prediction.
My thought process. Well, Sam, give me Sam's prediction.
I'm not touching my mic, Sam.
2-1 Crew.
2-1 Crew? All right, I'm going to say 2-1 Crew as well.
Yeah, the eyes have it. Motion
for everybody, for everybody on the show tonight, for Sam, Chris, Larry, Justin, Ryan, Willie. By the way, happy birthday, Willie.
Happy birthday.
I
got
to say happy birthday to Willie. It's his birthday tomorrow, so come in and watch the show. The mark of an immature man is that he wants to nobly die for a cause, while the mark of a mature man is that he wants to live humbly for one.